Before we start, I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning after a wonderful time of worship and praise. And Lord, help our hearts be open, we pray, to your word this morning. As we go and have a look at this parable and we ask our minds, what are you saying to us, Lord God? Lord, keep our hearts open and pliable. But prick our ears, Heavenly Father, that we may listen and hear and act on the words before us here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in our current preaching series, we're examining how our stories can be used as a witness to others who we come in contact with daily in our lives. Last week, if you remember, James preached on the parable of the rich young fool from Luke chapter 12. And he asked us, what are we investing our time and our life in? Is it things that last or things that don't last? Is what we're engaged in daily in our lives benefiting the kingdom of God? Now, this morning we're looking at another parable from Matthew 21 to examine our attitudes towards telling others about our story of Jesus. Now, storytelling is exactly what Christ was doing when he spoke in the parables. Parables are intended to be daily life examples that convey a truth regarding some aspect of the kingdom, and in particular, the human relationship with God. So they gain the hearer's interest by telling a story that's relevant and cause the hearer to then examine or focus on how it applies for them. This is exactly how telling your story to someone is one of the easiest ways of passing on the faith that you have in Christ. The example of Christ's parables or story shine as an example for us who are saved and should be doing the same sort of thing. Now, I want to ask you this morning, how often do you commit to doing something only to end up not following through on it? I know particularly when my sons were little, they would often come to me when I was engaged in doing something and ask, oh, Dad, can you help me with this? Or, Dad, can we do this? And you usually say to him, yeah, son, look, let me finish this off and we'll go and do that. But so many times I failed to come through on that action. My intent was good and I wanted to do that, but I failed in the action. And probably another example is New Year's resolutions. I wonder if I was to ask, and I don't want any hands to embarrass people, but if I was to ask, did you have a New Year's resolution this year? Maybe it was just a secret thought you had with yourself where you thought, oh, I'm going to lose 50 pounds or I'm going to run a marathon or I'm going to do something that's equally impossible this year. And I wonder, do you still have that resolution going? Is it still going for? Are you acting upon that? And I would guess that probably for most of us, the same as me, that that's not happening. You see, our actions don't always agree with our intentions. And this morning we're going to have a look through this parable in Matthew 21 and use it as a comparison to examine our attitudes and our intent in going and witnessing for Christ. So if you want to have a look in Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to be reading this from verse 28. What do you think? Jesus said. There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? And they answered, the first. In this parable, we have a prime example of two people with certain intentions. So there are two sons, and both had different intentions. One had a poor intention. Well, in fact, it was very negative, and he actually refused to do what his father had asked. Verse 29 says that when he was asked to go to the vineyard for his father, he says, "I will not." This son's attitude was significantly negative. But then we see, even after this refusal, sometime later, he actually goes and does what his father has asked. He obeys. Now, the other son had all good intentions. He was positive. He wants to do the will of his father, but we note that this one who said he would go never ever does. The one who did not want to go ends up going and doing the will of his father, but then the one who did have the good intentions doesn't go and disobeys. And Jesus asks a question here. He says, "What do you think?" in verse 28. And then in verse 31, he says, "Which of the two did what his father wanted?" And the answer is pretty plain and simple. It's obvious. The one who did the will of his father was not the one who actually had the good intention, but it was the one who refused to go but ended up doing what was asked of him. He was the one who obeyed. And just like probably our New Year's resolutions, the proof is in the actual doing, not in the intention. So this morning I want to ask you, what is your attitude towards taking the gospel out to others? You may be like the first son, and you may really not want to do it for many reasons, and they may be quite valid. But then maybe sometimes you actually speak to somebody about Christ, tell them about your story. Or you could have the attitude of son number two and have the best intentions in the world, but for various reasons, never ever go out and do that. So this morning I want to encourage you in your intentions and attitude in telling your story to other people. The story about the faith you have in Christ to someone you come in contact with throughout the week. You see, this is what Christ wants us to be doing. And I want to be encouraging you, and I would like you to be encouraging others. Maybe in the home groups, occasionally we ask each other, "Have you told anybody this week about your story, about Jesus and the faith that you have in him?" So I want to be encouraging you, and I want you to be encouraging others as well. See, the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us consider how we can spur each other on and encourage one another as the day is long." So let's have a look at some of the motivating reasons that we can be telling our stories about Jesus to those who aren't saved. Now, there are five we're going to look at this morning. And firstly, we've already seen that Jesus exemplified storytelling to pass on the gospel to those who were listening. We have seen that in his storytelling, in the parables. So, firstly, we have Christ's example as a motivating reason for us. But we also know Jesus commanded us. At the end of Matthew's gospel, in chapter 28, Jesus says to be going out and seeking the lost by saying, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And again, if you read it at the end of Mark, in Mark chapter 16, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." So that's a command. It's a direction. There are no questions asked. Jesus says, "Go out and do it." But also, if we obey Christ's commands, we are in fact demonstrating the love that we have for him. And Christ is quite clear about this. In John 14 and 21 and 23, he says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." And again, verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." Our love for Jesus and his love shining through our life compels us to be wanting to pass on the faith that we have in Christ to others. When we love Jesus and he loves us, his love should be shining out of our lives, in the actions and in our daily living, demonstrating that we love Christ. So that's three reasons. First, we have Christ's example in the parables, in his storytelling. We have his command, but also we demonstrate our love for him when we obey. Two more. We have the greatest possession given to mankind through the saving power of Jesus, the gift of eternal life. Paul tells us in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, but is a gift from God." And again in Romans chapter 6, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Through Christ's death on the cross, we have fellowship with him and the gift of eternal life. In our ever-confusing world, when we have this gift, we should want to be sharing it with others. Surely, when we have gained something of such great value, and someone else can have that or share in that, we should be wanting to share it with others. Something that makes an eternal difference to someone's life, we should be wanting to share. In Matthew chapter 13, there are another two parables, the parable of the pearl and the parable of the hidden treasure. And Jesus says this. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." If we feel like these men about our treasuring Christ, we will want to be sharing it with others. We have the gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life, and through that, the peace of God. And this is another reason for us to be sharing our stories with others, so that they can have this same relationship with Jesus and share in the eternal gift. And number five, humanity is lost without Christ. Humanity is lost without Christ. Man is constantly trying to fill life with worldly possessions that do not lead to lasting fulfillment. The things of this world don't satisfy, even though we often think they do. And I like the way C.S. Lewis describes the difference between earthly fulfillment and the fulfillment of Christ in our life. He says, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition and money when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea." Lewis says, we are far too easily pleased. A modern contemporary example of that would be if you had a friend that owned a property out in Western Queensland, and that friend had been busy for months bringing in the cattle, putting them on trucks, selling them, and all of his work had been done, and he thought, oh, I just need to have a bit of a break now. I just need to, you know, just chill out and enjoy myself. So that friend puts on his swimmers, puts his towel over his shoulder, and wanders down to the back paddock where there's this great big muddy dam. And he goes and sits in the edge of the dam and starts rubbing the mud over himself and throwing the smelly water that the cattle have been drinking over himself. And he thinks, oh, this is wonderful. This is glorious. I really love this. And you go out to visit him and you say, mate, what are you doing sitting in the dam throwing the smelly water and mud over yourself? Come back to the Sunshine Coast with me, where the beach is lovely and the waves are there and the water is clear and the sand, it's just like fine white powder. And he says to you, oh, no, mate, no, this is just wonderful right here where I am. C.S. Lewis says, we are far too easily pleased. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, we see three stories or three parables that Jesus speaks about three lost objects. A lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And he says, I tell you that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. And again, celebrate and be glad because your brother was lost and now is found. We add to heavenly rejoicing when we seek out the lost and tell them of the saving relationship we have with Jesus. We add to heavenly rejoicing when we do that. When we tell our friends and the people that we come in contact with about the faith we have in Christ and the saving power that he has and how that affects our life. How somebody can be lost, but then can be found. So no matter what your current attitude is, there is positive motivation that can be found in these five things. One, Christ's example. Two, Christ's commands. Three, our love for Christ. Four, us wanting to pass on our knowledge of the greatest gift to mankind. And five, demonstrating how man is lost and that there can be fulfillment and rejoicing that lasts for all eternity. But how are we going to put this into practice? A way of telling others about Jesus. And many of us struggle to be doing this. And at the moment, James is suggesting that one way that can help us is by us telling our story. Because each one of us has a story to tell. We might not have the answers for people, the answers about God and the answers about creation and the answers about the world, but we have a story. Last week when I came up the front for with James, he asked me a question about passing on my faith in my work. And I quickly alluded to a conversation I had with a doctor that I was doing a transfer with. And we were taking a young lady who was critically ill and who had probably a really poor outcome in front of her to another hospital. And he's a red-headed Irishman, and I'm not going to try a red-headed Irishman's accent. But he said to me, he said, I don't understand why God does this stuff. He said, I really can't understand why God would do this. And we started to have a bit of a discussion. But quickly he said, I just can't think about it. He says, the best way for me to cope with this, he said, is just not to think about it. And that was the end of the discussion. See, for him, I didn't have the answers. I couldn't answer his questions about God. But sometime later that week, he started pressing me again and he said, oh, you're sort of like an Anglican, aren't you? And we started to have a conversation, and I shared a bit with him about my story and how Jesus was in my life. You see, we may not always have the answers for people, but we do have a story. God's story is our story. Now, your story doesn't need to be long and deep, but one easy way of telling your story, and it may be good to write down these 3 points or to memorize them in your head. And there are just 3 steps that I want you to think about this morning. Step number one, what was your life like before Jesus? What was your life like before Jesus? So for me, I had had a taste of living with Christ. At high school, I had made a confession of faith in Jesus, and I actually went to the same school as Donnie did, and there was a great ISCF going and all of those sort of things. But when I got into the army, I completely drifted away from God. Okay, and I'd realised, and I still remember the feeling I had now, that I realised that something was missing in my life. I was completely away from God, and my life had become empty with no purpose. Step number two, how and why did you receive Christ? How and why did you receive Christ? So for me, Jesus brought a mentor into my life in the person of a supervisor at work. He was going to a church and he was leading the older youth and the young people. And he shared with me how Jesus was acting in his life. He shared with me his story and how I needed Christ back as head of my life. Now, I recommitted my life to Jesus and was obedient to him in baptism. And step number three, how did Jesus change your life? How did Jesus change your life? So once again, for me, I felt the love of Christ back in my life. I had hope and a purpose and knew that there was an eternal reward for me through Jesus, my Saviour. So I had that purpose back. My life was no longer empty anymore. And for me, there was an added benefit for the fact that I started coming along to the young people's home group and met a couple of lovely young ladies, one who I'm now been married to for almost 30 years. So one of my significant blessings is the fact that Jesus died on a cross for me and he is my Saviour. And the next blessing he has bestowed on me is a beautiful godly woman to keep me in check as I travel along the road with him through life. So those are the 3 steps. They're not complicated. Simply these 3 points. What was your life like before Jesus? Why did you receive Christ? And how did he change your life? So this morning I want to encourage you to think about your story. But also this morning I would like to encourage you to think about your attitude, your motivation towards passing on your faith in Christ to others, those who you come in contact with daily or weekly or even just on an occasion. We often struggle with good intentions and the attitude of going and speaking to others. But we need to not be like the son in our parable who just had a good intention. He failed, but rather we need to be like son number two who had a good intention, but then go and follow through on our actions. James has said, we often don't have the answers to question. James has said that we often don't have the answers to questions, but we have a story. Christ's commission to us is for us to be going out and seeking the lost. Go and make disciples of all nations, he said. And we can be doing that through our stories, God's story, our story. In a minute, I'm just going to pray, and I would like to challenge each one of us, me included, in this prayer, that we can consider our story, that we can consider our intentions, that we may be positive and motivated in telling others about Jesus, and that we can be following through and definitely acting upon the fact that we have a Saviour with eternal benefits for our life. After that, the team are going to come up and we're going to sing our last song. But if you would like somebody to pray with you, maybe I've challenged you this morning, or maybe you've got somebody in your life that you've been thinking, I really want to be telling them about Christ, but you haven't been able to. I'd like to pray with you this morning. Or maybe you need to be challenged to be finding someone or a group of people who you want to share the gospel with through your story. So if you want to come down during that last song, I'm just going to be waiting down here, or even after church this morning, you might want to come and I will pray with you. So we're going to close in prayer now, and then the last song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable, this example that Jesus has spoken into our hearts this morning. And Lord, we would ask that you would help us to have good intentions as we can tell our stories to others. Lord, help us to be motivated. Help us to be positive. And Lord God, we ask that you would give us a boldness to speak about you and our stories in our lives, that we can speak them out to others. And Lord God, just challenge us, prick our hearts daily, that we may be wanting to pass that on to people that we come in contact with. Lord God, if we don't have people in our lives that we want to speak into, Lord, bring those people across our paths, that we may be wanting to witness to you, and Lord God, telling our stories, your story. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.